of behavior, the past things that Israel's done, and how it's affected them. I want you to remember that they had some things happen because of what they chose to do in their lives, and they did not always run their race well. But I want you to be teachable, where you can learn from those and move forward, because I gave those as an example to you so you can learn from their past mistakes and past successes. I want you to learn. Now, as we continue that thought of learning from the past, we come to this next portion of Scripture here that we're going to pick back up that gives this idea of being reminded there of the sharing. Now look with me in verse number 11 of chapter 10. We're going to read verses 11 through verse 14 this morning. Verse 14, we're going to just end with as a thought, because verse 14 starts the next section that Paul starts talking about, not just idolatry, but he's going to explain the evils behind the idolatry. Now, he mentioned that earlier on. Remember, he said, flee from it, turn from it, don't be a part of it, don't have those gods. Then he says to flee again, and then the next several verses next week, he's going to get in and explain why in regards to that. But look with me at verse number 11. Now, all these things happen unto them for an ensample, and they are written for admonition upon whom the ends of the world to come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we ask that you would just speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray as we share your words this morning, that we would truly hear from heaven. Lord, that we would get the message you want us to get this morning. Because we need it in our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Now we covered all those things in the past. I was going to do a little more review, but we're already 35 of the hour. So I'm not going to do as much review as I was planning. So hopefully you remember all the things we've looked at. Because now we pick up in verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for an example. All that took place happened for an example to them. Be reminded of why these events took place. Be reminded of why I shared what I shared. So you can have this. But as we look at this reminder, he says it was given as an admonition to them. That word admonition carries the idea of instruction with warning. Instruction with warning. Now, this is the idea that is given here. How many of you have been given instruction before? And someone says something like this. Now, make sure you do this and this and this. And they leave it like that. How many give an instruction? Now, be very careful what you do. Because if you don't listen to my instruction, it's going to cause a problem for you. You see, I want to tell you that down the road, Highway District number 1 is at road work again. And they have the signs there, but listen to those signs, because if you go past those signs, there is no road, and there's a gulf between the end of this road and that road, and your car's going to fall in between, and there's no way getting out. That's instruction with warning. Now, you laugh about that. Dick does stuff like that all the time, the highway district. But here's a thought. This is instruction given with warning. He says, these were set as example because I don't want you to just hear the truth. I want you to understand the urgency and the importance of it to get a hold of this, because you have to get a hold of these truths so you can run your race well that God has called you to run. I want you to understand there's a warning given here. If you don't heed God's word, where it's going to lead you. Be reminded of the past. Be reminded of the instructions as given through the teaching of these examples, through the teaching of the life of Israel. It's going to lead you into a place of captivity. It's going to lead you into a place of destruction. It's going to lead you in a place of misery. I want us to get this morning. What Paul was telling the church of Corinth, if you don't learn from them, there is harm that's going to come to your life because you're disobeying the word of God. You're not learning from their examples. There's a warning given. I tell you, we've been in church, many in this room, for many years of your life. You've heard the word of God taught. You've heard the word of God preached. You know what the word of God says. You know the instructions given. You know how we ought to live. You know how we ought to do things. You know how we ought to think. You know how we ought to treat our families. You know how we ought to treat our husbands and our wives and our kids. We know how we ought to give and do and serve. We know all the instructions given here. We've seen the examples of those from the older days. We've seen the examples of our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents. We've seen the examples of generation after generation, those that did it and those that didn't do it. We've seen it. And we've seen the harm it's brought upon people's lives that didn't live that way. We've seen people have misery in their lives. We've seen people, families fall apart. We've seen homes crumble. We've seen churches destroyed. We've seen it take place and happen. It's been examples all around us. The warning is given. The example is given. But have we taken heed to the warnings that are given? Paul said, Church of Corinth, you are to run your race well and learn from these individuals. But guess what? Some of you aren't running the race well. And you're going to end up in the same place that some of the children of Israel ended up because they didn't heed the word of God. I tell you, we sit in church. We soak in. And we don't even take it and apply it and live it. We soak, we sit, and we sour. Because we're not taking those truths and taking them and applying them to our hearts and to our lives and letting it transform us and let us to learn from this. We keep on doing it the same old way. We don't change. We know that we've seen examples, we've seen homes destroyed, and guess what? We're doing the same thing they're doing, and our home's going to be destroyed too. I can't believe that so-and-so lost his kids. I can't believe so-and-so's family fell apart. I can't believe their marriage ended in divorce. I can't believe this took place and that happened. But guess what? We're doing the same recipe in our homes and in our lives to end up with the same results that they're doing. We aren't learning from it. We're not learning from the truths that God has said, okay, this is how you ought to do it. This is how you ought to establish things. This is what you ought to do. We're not learning from it. He says, I've given this to you as instruction with warning because I want you to get a hold of it. We got to be reminded of why he shared this information. He shared it because he wanted the people to do well, not to fail. I just want to be honest with you this morning. My heart breaks this morning because, as a pastor, you know what my heart is? I want everyone in the church to do well and run the race well. I believe that was Paul's heartbeat. He saw that in the very first chapter of 1 Corinthians. But you know why my heart breaks? Because I know there's many not running the race well. And I know there's many that have seen the instructions, have seen the examples, that sit back and say, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to keep doing it the way I want to do it. My heart breaks. My heart breaks. Because this is what is happening not just in our church. This is what is happening across America today. This is what's happened in the lives of so many believers today. This is what's happened to our generation. And this is what's going to happen to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. We're not heeding and listening to the instructions. Now, many times we get on our children for not heeding the instructions and examples and the warnings we give them. But we aren't heeding it in our lives. Do you know if it didn't work for someone else, it's not going to work for you. And if it hasn't been working for you, it's not going to magically get better and start working. All right? If this pattern produces this result, as much as you work that pattern, it's still going to produce the same results. Now, I understand this. Please let me finish what I'm going to say, because I understand our world's even messed this up. But as far as I know, 2 + 2 still equals 4. Now, I know there's common core math, and we have to do this, and instead of 2 + 2 = 4, we have to do 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 and make a big box and put little circles in there and do little diagrams to come up with what that means 4. All right? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Have you seen this wonderful common core math that's out there today? Instead of just learning 2 + 2 = 4, we have to do 1 + 1 + 1 + 1, and we make our boxes and our charts and our dots and our things, and we color this and we color that, and we have all this to come up with that's 4. That's a lot more work than just 2 + 2 = 4, all right? Now here's a thought. We know 2 + 2 = 4. No matter how you slice it, how you dice it, it's always going to equal 4. Now, here's the thought. If that always equals 4, and we're trying to get 6, what do I have to do to get 6? I change the equation, because I know what? 3 + 3 = 6. 2 + 2 is never going to equal 6. And that's what we're doing in our lives. You say, well, that's so simple. We know that. That's what we're doing in our lives. We keep doing the same pattern and trying to get 6, and we keep getting 4. Because we're not changing the equation. We're not changing those steps, those ways. We're doing it the same way. We're not learning from the past. We're not learning from that. But look a little further as we look at this. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they're written for admonition upon the whom the ends of the world are come. They're given for instruction. It's given instruction with warranty, but it's given instruction of warranty for all ages. It means from that generation to the last generation. That means from this period of time to the Lord comes back. It means to the world is done away with. This is a warning given. Well, why would you even bring that up? Why does Scripture bring this up? Because this is the mindset many believers had in Corinth, and this is the mindset many believers have today. That instruction is good for the old generation. That instruction is good for someone else. That instruction was good for my grandparents. You see, my grandparents, they were old fuddy-duddies, and they liked that type of stuff, and they had more time on their hands and to do the things, and they could live and run the race well, and they could do those things, and it was for that generation. No, it says for every generation, the examples that Israel had were set to be an example for us today in whatever generation we're living, to the last generation. Amen. That means it doesn't matter what generation you live in, you and I can still live and run a race well. It doesn't matter who's president of the United States, you can still run your race well. It doesn't matter what wickedness is happening and how vile things have gotten in our world today. It doesn't matter that all this filthiness is around us everywhere we turn, you can still run your race well. It doesn't matter that the world system has tried to change that there's more than male and female. It doesn't matter all these things have happened, you can still run your race well. It doesn't matter what's happened in our world. It doesn't matter those things. Every generation can learn from the example of Israel and run your race well in the generation God has placed you. That's what it's saying there. This instruction's given. I tell you, many people say, well, preacher, we have to understand culture changes things. Yeah, culture changes things, but it can't change God's word. Cultures change things, but it can't change God's word. God's word is still the same. Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. His word has not changed. It's still the same. He still says, be holy, for I am holy. It's still the same truths and the same principles. It's still the same way of living. It's still the same. That's what God's word says. It was given as instruction to learn from the past with warning. It was given an instruction to those in Corinth, but it was given instructions to every generation from that time to present, to future. Heed the instruction that is given. Well, verse 12 tells us this. Sister so-and-so need this. Brother so-and-so need this. But I don't need this. We need to be reminded of the instruction, but reminded of the instruction, it's for me. Because I need it. Look at verse 12. I want you to see this thought, this principle here. Because I believe many individuals in our world today will point the finger at someone else and point the finger as they need to learn from the example. My husband needs to learn from the example. My wife needs to learn from example. Oh, that church member needs to learn from the example. No, I need to learn from the example. Because look at verse 12. This is this. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. When you think you're invisible and invincible, when you think you can handle it, when you think you don't need to learn from instruction, when you think you've learned everything you need to learn, when you think you have arrived in your life spiritually, when you think you've reached that place, that plateau, and you're just an amazing individual, that's when you're going to crumble because that pride is going to get in your way. That's what it's saying there. It's saying this. Learn, no matter who you are, what you are, because you can fall when you think you have arrived. I tell you, there are a lot of intelligent people in this room. And I will even say this, there's more intelligent people in this room than me. All right? Some of you have a mind that I wish I could have. I tell you, I tease this individual, but I wish I had his mind. Rick is one of those wonderful minds that God has given some people the understanding of math equations that you'll never use the rest of your life. And I'm glad he's given him that mindset. Sarah's another one that likes that math stuff. I don't get it. I understand it. I can do it if I have to do it. But why in the world do I have to have that mindset of 2x plus this, 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 and this letter and that letter of this alphabet, and then we add this, these two letters together, and we borrow a letter from this other alphabet in the English language, and we put it in there too, and we put it all together to come up with something. I tell you, there's got to be a simple way to do it than that whole mindset, and I'm glad you have that intelligence and that mind to be able to do that. We have a lot of intelligent people. But you know what the truly intelligent person is? Is the one that they know they can always learn more. Do you know, even the greatest mind of all time, that people were considered the greatest mind of all time, anyone know who I would be referring to? Einstein. Do you know what Einstein said? And I'm not quoting it word for word, but basically is there is still more he could learn. One of the greatest minds of all time said there is still more that he could learn. Even other, those in Plato and others said similar things. Why there is more that they could learn. Do you know what this thought is? This? You know what Paul was telling them? It doesn't matter who you think you are. It doesn't matter how well of a Christian you think you are. It doesn't matter how strong you think you are as a believer. You can fail. You know what comes to my mind? Paul's my favorite character in the Bible, but my second favorite character in the Bible is a man named David. David, if he takes this in the right way, was on top of the world, if you will. David was king. The kingdom was going well. Everything was grand. And David got to a place. This is how the giant killed David. David got to a place where David thought he had arrived. Because David thought he could do whatever he wanted to do, and it wasn't going to affect him. Oh, we know the story. I can't believe David didn't go to war. He's supposed to go to war. I can't believe David would go out and he saw something he shouldn't and he gave in to that temptation. I can't believe David. How could David be a man after God's own heart? How could David do those things? How could David do that? Why? Because he's a sinner just like you and me. And guess what can happen in our lives when we think we have arrived and we're not doing the things we're supposed to be doing in our lives? We're going to find ourselves flat on our faces and fallen. That's what it says. Take heed, lest he fall. Listen to the instructions, or you're going to find destruction in your life. You're going to fall. You know what's happened? Christians, believers, and I use believers more than Christians, because a Christian is Christ-like. A believer is talking about all those that are saved. You know what's happened? Many believers have fallen today because they haven't heeded the examples, the instructions. We have a lot of weak believers today that are fallen and can't get up. Some of you remember those old commercials. I've fallen and can't get up. But that's the truth of believers today. We have not listened. We haven't heeded. Heed means we listen and we do what is told us to do. Well, we've been to church. We've been told. We've been shown. We've heard it. We've seen it. All that. But guess what we're going to do? As soon as we leave the building today, we're going to do what we've always done. We're going to think the same way we've always thought. We're going to be involved in the same activities we've already been involved in. We're going to act the same way we've always acted. I'm not taking heed to it. I'm not listening to it. Oh, I've seen how this generation has fallen apart, but I'm not going to do anything to change the next generation. I'm going to keep doing it. I know what's supposed to happen. I know what's supposed to take place. I know these things. I've seen it, but I'm not going to listen. We do this. No, I'm not going to listen to you. You know what I'm talking about. We've done that. Why am I going to listen? Why am I going to heed? But I want you to see a couple other thoughts from this portion of Scripture. He wanted them to run the race well. He says, you got to listen to instruction. You got to listen to this instruction with warning that's given to all ages. You got to not just listen to it, you got to take heed to it. Because if you don't take heed to it, you're going to find yourself in a heap of trouble. You're not going to run the race well. You're going to be running that race, and because you don't take heed to the instructions, you're going to find yourself flat on your face and not able to get up and not able to finish the course God's called you to. But look at this thought here. Therefore, have no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that he may be able to bear it. He gives his thought after the strong warning about self-confidence and pride. He gives a thought, a strong word of encouragement, how you can handle the temptations that you face. You see, Corinth was in a city that had lots of money. The church of Corinth was in a city that had a lot of wickedness. The church of Corinth was around those doing wicked things all around them. And Paul was telling the church of Corinth, you can run your race well even in the circumstances you find yourself. And how can you do this? He's going to give them confidence. He's going to give them the confidence. Now, this confidence is not in themselves. This confidence is in God. Look again in this verse. I want you to see this. We're going to talk about temptation in a minute, but I want you to see the confidence that he gives them here. He says, there hath no temptation taking you, but such is common to man, but God is faithful. He says, I want you to understand there's temptation all around you. I want you to understand that this temptation is common to man. I want you to understand that this temptation is going to appeal to your flesh. I want you to understand that as you go through this life, you're going to see things you wish you never saw. You're going to hear things you wish you never heard. You're going to see all this around you. This is common. This temptation is common. Every man, every woman, every child, from the beginning of time to the end of time, will face temptation, will have temptation. There's nothing new underneath the sun. Sin has been on this earth from the beginning, from Adam and Eve, and all the way to today, and it will go past us if the Lord doesn't come back. This sin has been there. Temptation has been there. It's all around you. It's common. Do you know lying didn't just happen today? The temptation to lie has been from the very beginning. Because what did Eve do? Eve lied. Adam lied. The devil lied. They all lied. It's been from the beginning. It's always been there. This is what the idea is. There's always temptation to not run your race well. There's been always temptation to get you off track. There's always something there that is there to try to get your attention. To try to get a hold of you. Now get this. There's going to be things that appeal to you all the time. Now I want you to understand this. What appeals to Brother Dick may not appeal to Brother Brian. What appeals to Reagan may not appeal to Eli. What appeals to this person may not appeal to that person. But I want you to understand, there's going to be something that tries to get your attention. It's common to man. Because it always attacks. As we're looking at it on Wednesdays, from glory to glory, it always attacks the eyes, the flesh, The pride of life, it attacks the same three areas. It always will. And those things are going to try to get a hold of you. Those things are going to try to get your attention. Those things are going to get you. Now listen. Listen carefully to this. We have to get this. That temptation is real and it's there. Don't be fooled to think you can handle the temptation yourself. Because your flesh is weak. None of us have the strong enough will to overcome temptation in of ourselves. We may start strong, but over time, it gets weakened. Let me give an illustration. How many of you have ever said no to somebody, especially a child, the first time they asked you? Now, it could be someone else, but we use children because they're easy to pick on. And you said no to them. But then, Loretta, they asked you again. And you said no again. But then by the 500th time they asked you the same question over and over again, what do we do sometimes, Loretta? We're ready to kill them or say, fine, whatever, right? Now, maybe you've never done that. Maybe there's only a few wicked parents in here that have finally got to that place of frustration and done that. But I believe, honestly, we've all gotten to the point, what happens? You wear down over time. And you keep getting asked the same, and you keep going, and you get wear down, and you're just exhausted. You're just tired. You're ready, and you're just like, whatever, just fine. That's what happens when we try to handle temptation ourselves. I tell you, you're tempted about something. I'm not going to give in. I'm good. But then 2 days later, that same temptation comes away. I'm good. I'm not going to give in. Then a couple days later, that temptation comes. No, I'm not going to give in. A few more days later, that temptation comes again. Oh, I know I shouldn't. Oh, I better not. Oh, wait, well, maybe. Well, no. And then a few more days later, that temptation comes again. Well, probably shouldn't, but is it really going to hurt me? You know, nobody else will even know that I'm doing this. And all of a sudden, I'm weak, and I give in to the temptation. I give in to it. Why? Because I think I can handle it. I'm not going to heed the instructions. I'm not going to listen to it because I'm trying to handle the temptation myself. But therefore, this temptation's coming. It's common to man. It's normal to man. It's all around us. But we're going to fail when we do it ourselves. But look at this. But God is faithful. When temptation comes, if you're going to run your race well, you got to remember God is faithful. He's faithful. He's the one that can help you. And this is what we're going to see in the rest of this verse. God is the one that's faithful. God is the one that can help you. God is the one that's going to be able to do it. This temptation's common to man. This temptation's all around you. This temptation's there. You're not going to be able to stand. You're not going to be able to do those things. You're going to struggle. Yes, you can go as we give the illustration back and forth. And when you try to do it yourself, eventually you give in to the temptation. But God is faithful to be able to give you what you need to be able to handle the temptation that's going to come to you. Temptation's going to come to you. Temptation's going to come to you when you leave church today. Temptation may even come to you during church today. What? Temptation is coming to me during church today? Because I'm supposed to be listening to God's word. Guess what I'm doing instead of listening to God's word? I'm talking to my neighbor. I'm passing notes. I'm texting on my phone. I'm doing those things. You know what? You've given in to the temptation. Because God wants you to hear his word. Now get this. But God is faithful to give you what you need to handle the temptation that's going to come to you. that temptation that's going to try to get you to fail in your race, God's faithful to give you what you need. Now look at this real quickly. I am going to finish this today, so please stay with me. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. God is going to be faithful to not take temptation away from you. But God is faithful to give you what you need to handle that temptation and get through that temptation. Amen. Do you know there's some people that have interpreted this verse and commentaries have been written that says, well, God is faithful that you as a believer, you can go through your life and never face temptation. You don't have to face temptation. Well, I want to tell you that's not what this verse is teaching. Because it says it's common to man. It's everywhere around us. It's everywhere you turn. It's everywhere you go. God is not saying you're not going to have temptation. I tell you, I'll be honest with you. I have temptation every day of my life not to live the way I'm supposed to live. I have temptation every day of my life to stray from what I know I should be doing in my life. I have temptation just like everyone in this room. We have that temptation. But God is faithful. And what he is saying is God's not going to give you anything and God's not going to allow anything that you can't handle with his help and his strength. Now that temptation will get you, but that temptation can't get God. You see, that temptation will get your flesh. But if you're in the spirit and you have God's power and God's strength, that temptation's not going to get you. It says this, but God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape. That word temptation is the word test or prove. Test or prove. You see, this idea of escape is this idea of being able to flee from this testing, this proving, and come forth as gold. This is the idea here. You're going to go through a testing time called temptation. You say, I'm going to be faithful to God. There's going to be a testing. There's going to be a temptation. There's going to be a proving that comes and says, do you really believe that you're going to be faithful? You're going to say, I'm going to live by faith, and I'm going to trust God. Do you know there's going to be a temptation, a testing to prove your faith that you so-called have? There's going to be a time that comes when you're going to have to say, I truly have faith of a mustard seed, and it's going to be proven in your life, or you're going to fail that temptation, and you're going to start to doubt, you're going to start to worry, you're going to start to turn against God. There's going to be the temptation, this testing and proving to say that I believe this and I believe that and I'm going to live this and I'm going to do that. We don't have time to get all the examples I was going to share this morning, but we can look at those testings, we can look at those provings. And God is faithful as you go through that temptation, you go through that testing, you go through that proving to create a way for you to handle it. A way of escape, a way to make it through that temptation. I want to give a silly illustration. I want you to come with me to my ultimate dream of a restaurant. No, it's not White Castle. This is what, if I could ever develop a restaurant, this is what it would be. This restaurant would have a room, Tina, you like this, have a room for kids in this room. And they would have special stuff for them. Then it would have another dining room for families. Then it would have another dining room for older people that don't want any noise of kids. But in the middle would be this wonderful setup of food. Not a buffet, Because behind every counter would be a personal chef that would be making you exactly what you want to your specification. And as you're going through this, he would make you anything you want. But there's one problem with this restaurant. It's stuff you should not eat. I mean, 3,000 calories? There's nothing even that low. Everything you eat is at least 15,000 calories per item. And this is what happens. We're going through this line, and this person says, Brian, what do you like me to make? Here's all the ingredients. Here's all the sugar. Here's all the carbs. Here's all this, and I'll make whatever you want. And you're going through it. And you say, no, I don't want that. You say, no, I don't want that. And as you're going through, you start to become weak. But then you realize this. Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm going to claim your promise. I can't. I'm going to give in. I'm going to eat what I shouldn't eat. I'm going to do what I shouldn't do. Lord, I can't do it. But God, you are faithful. And God, I need you. And God, what I need you to do is close my eyes and close my mouth and get me through this. And with God's help, I walk by. I don't even stop. I don't even listen to what this person's trying to tell me to do. I don't listen to what that person's trying to get me to eat. I'm not listening to any of those things. I'm just going through and say, God, you're faithful. God, you're going to give me the strength. God, you're going to give me the help, and I'm going to get through it. Because God is faithful. And yes, temptation's there, but God is faithful to give you what you need so you can get through the temptation that you're faced with. You don't have to give in to temptation because God is stronger than any temptation that comes your way. And God already knows that temptation. And God already knows what tools you need. God already knows how he can help you. God is already there to give you what you need to get through what you're facing. Just rely upon God. Don't rely upon yourself. That temptation's going to get you when you do. But God is faithful. He's created a way to escape. He's created a way for you to handle it. Don't give in to that temptation that's around you. Go to God. Say, God, I need you. I need your help. I need your strength. You see, we as believers think that we have to live a perfect Christian life. Do you know we don't have to live a perfect Christian life? You know what we have to live? A surrendered life. There's a difference. Because when I have to think I have to live a perfect life, that means I think I have to handle the temptation that I'm sent. I have to read the Bible. I have to pray. I have to witness. I have to stop using that language. I have to stop drinking. I have to. I have to. I have to. That's the so-called living the perfect Christian life. You know what it is? A surrender life? Lord, I give you myself. And Lord, I need you to give me the strength I need so I can run my race well. And overcome the temptation that's going to cut my way. Because when temptation comes, I'm going to give in. Do you know, there are certain things I cannot eat anymore. And certain things I can't drink anymore. And I know that. But I'll be honest, there's times that temptation is right there. And it sounds so good. I was never a big soda fan, but once in a while, I craved a Diet Sunkist, orange Sunkist soda. And I tell you, not too long ago, I was at the gas station. And I saw a diet orange Sunkiss. I even took it out of the cooler. And I says, well, I have not drank carbonation for 3 years. What is one little sip of that going to do to me? I took it out. I looked at it. And I started walking through the store. And I got to the place I was going to pay for that. And then I said, I can't do this. I know what it's going to do to me. And then I was fighting with this. And I put it on the counter. I took it off the counter. I put it on the counter. I took it off the counter. The guy looked at me like, "Are you need help, buddy?" I put it on the counter. I took it off the counter. And I prayed something to this, "Lord, help me." And I slowly walked back to the cooler in my mind, fighting it the whole time. And I went to open the cooler door. And I'm telling the truth right here. That door wouldn't open. And I'm pulling on this door and the door won't open. I don't understand what happened. I just had it open. And the door wouldn't open. Good job, Steve. Door wouldn't open. You know what I did? No, I didn't. I saw there was a space in the cooler next to it, even though it didn't belong. I opened the door, I put the bottle in there, and I ran out of the store. This is the idea. Temptation is going to be there everywhere you turn. And when I'm trying to do it, I'm taking that soda to the counter, and I'm buying that soda. But even though it's hard, God, I need you. Lord, I know I got to put this back. Lord, I know I can't do this. And I tell you, it's hard. And I wish we could all say we're running back to throw the bottle back in. But I'm glad God gives me the strength I need, even though it might not be exactly how it should be. Maybe it's slow. Maybe it's this. But I'm taking those steps to flee from that temptation, to get rid of that temptation, not to give in to that sin. And put the bottle back in the cooler. And then even when I went to open the cooler, when it opened, I found another way to get rid of it. Because I had to get rid of it. This is where we're at in our lives today. We are struggling to run the race well because temptation's got us, because I'm trying to do it. But God is faithful to help you overcome the temptations that sent your way. God will help you. God will give you what you need. You just got to turn to God. Stop doing it yourself. Stop trying to live that perfect Christian life and live that surrendered life. Stop trying to do it. Turn to God. Because God is faithful to give you what you need. I just want to read verse 14. Verse 14 is going to be where we pick up next week. But verse 14 says, "Wherefore, my dear brother, flee from idolatry." Flee from it. Flee from the temptation, because the temptation they were facing was idolatry, fornication, murmuring. Remember, we looked at that last week. Flee from that. Flee from the temptation. Because God can give you the strength you need to flee from your temptations in your life. Next week, we're going to pick that up because it's going to talk about the idolatry. We're going to talk about why you need to flee from that idolatry, given in the next verses. We need to understand something this morning. Every one of us are capable of falling this morning. Every one of us. And let's be even a little more real. Every one of us have fallen before. We're not just capable of falling. We have fallen before. But God is faithful to pick you up, place you back on that race, and says, my child, let's keep on going. You don't have to quit just because you fall into temptation. He not only just provides a way of escape from the temptation, he'll provide a way when you fail to get you back up and keep you going again. He is faithful. There is no excuse for anyone not to run the race well. There's not an excuse for any mankind that is a believer in Christ Jesus not to finish the course that God has called you to and do it the way God wants you to do it. There's no excuse because God is faithful. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word.